today on Real Radio.
And so as Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, it was a church that was very much like churches in existence today, a time of apathy. They had made carnal their conduct. They would read the Old Testament, but they wouldn't apply it. They were very socially minded as a people rather than God-minded.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series that takes a look at chapter 10 and the first 15 verses. It's where Paul cites parts of the Old Testament as examples of how we're supposed to live our new life in Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Run, Christian, Run.
Run, Christian, Run. And I see the picture just with the title, and I see Forrest Gump running. But understand this, Forrest Gump ran because he wanted to run. He didn't know where he was going. We are different. We are running from this world. And that's, by the way, commendable. Don't think that's some sort of a cowardice way of conduct. That's a commendable thing. We are running from this world like Pilgrim in the book Pilgrim's Progress that every Christian should read, that Charles Spurgeon read 100 times before he was 6 years old. Every person should read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And we are running from this world and we're running toward God. Amen? As a believer, that's what we're doing. In fact, more than ever. And so as Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, it was a church that was very much like churches in existence today, a time of apathy. They had made carnal their conduct. They had taken the word of God. They would read the Old Testament, but they wouldn't apply it. They were very socially minded as a people rather than God-minded. And so as we look at this, Run, Christian, Run. By way of review, very quickly, we looked at the first point last week together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before I go there and look at that first point, follow along with me. Verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or uninformed that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." He's talking about the Exodus. "All were baptized into Moses." Remember, that was Moses' authority appointed by God. "In the cloud and in the sea. All ate of the same spiritual food and drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them fell," that is, fell dead. "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Listen to verse 13. You're going to want to circle it. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape so that you may be able to bear it." Verse 14, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as wise men, to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say." He's talking about running. You know last time that from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul revealed to us an issue that was perpetual before his heart. And that was, as an apostle, He was concerned that someday he would do something that would cause his ministry to be disqualified. He did not want to mess up God's call on his life. What he did not say in 1 Corinthians 9:27 was that if he messed up, that he would lose his salvation. That's not the issue. That was settled, as we looked into last week. Paul was burdened with misrepresenting God to the people. He didn't want to do something in his life. He didn't want to take his Christian liberties. Now, you got to remember, Paul was, as in his words, Philippians to that church, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He says of himself that he was a Pharisee. Concerning the law, he was blameless. Concerning those who were his peers in Judaism, he excelled above them all. Circumcised on the eighth day, a man that people would accuse, they could not find anything wrong with him. He was an amazing man of God from the beginning. A man who, when he gave testimony of his faith now in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus as Messiah, when he did that, remember before Pilate, as Herod was gathered together, in fact, Felix, I should say, came, they were in Caesarea, and he makes argument as to why in his Judaism he had followed the Old Testament scriptures and believed what David believed, that the Messiah would come. He talked about Psalm 22 every time he preached the gospel of Christ, which is that Jesus would be crucified. Psalm 22 says that the Messiah would be pierced in his hands and his feet. He understood that in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that if you want to find out who Israel's Messiah would be, you would find in the prophetic word of God, Micah 5, verse 2, that out of Bethlehem, the Messiah would come. By the way, it does announce there that the one born in Bethlehem would be eternal, never having a beginning and never having an ending. This was Paul. But on his way to Damascus, he had encountered the resurrected Christ. And his life dramatically changed. Paul's a great example for us today. And we looked at this regarding the Christian running this run in these days. In verses 1 to 6, the first point was this, that we are to be running church with our eyes wide open, that we are to be people as believers in God that should excel in the pursuit of God, that it is the number one chief goal of man's life is to pursue God, to go after him. And we saw this, that knowing that God has been at work in your life cannot be denied. Remember that? We looked at that in some detail together. That knowing that God has been at work in your life matters. You need to open your eyes. And we challenged the atheist last week. We challenged the non-believer that you cannot deny that God has been at work in your life if you're honest. You can try to argue things away. You can try to dismiss things. But down deep inside, you may try to fool somebody around you, but down deep inside, there's an internal witness of the Holy Spirit announcing to you and certainly reminding us as believers that God has been at work in our lives. God is good. Yeah, this world's messed up. People are crazy. People can be mean and brutal to one another. Don't confuse how man treats man versus how God treats us. God gets a lot of bad rap. He gets a lot of bad press. But God is good, and that we are to be knowing that he's been at work in our lives. And we saw that in verses 1 to 4. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And he goes down a litany of tremendous things that God had done by revealing his nature, revealing his power and his presence to the children of Israel when they were called out of Egypt. The next thing we saw was choosing, verse 5, that we are running with our eyes wide open, Christian, in this life, choosing to lay down our life before God. You know, you're going to lay down your life before someone or something. Who or what are you living for? The greatest thing that you can do in this life is to choose to lay down your life for God. And understand what I'm saying here. I am not saying to lay down your life and in your mind, you see a Christian laying on a train track all bound up and gagged. That's not what I'm talking about. Forget that. Anybody can die. I mean, do you realize that? I know there's a belief out there that says, let's strap bombs to our kids and send them out into the world and blow people up. And that's what it means to follow God. Man, that's commitment. What's interesting about that is you got to drug people to do that. You know that? I don't mean drag them. I mean drug them. What in the world is that all about? And besides this, you know, you can only die for so long. I would argue that that's an easy way out. You want to make a big commitment, radical commitment? Live for Jesus Christ now. Look, now, the next 10 years, the next 30 years, until you die, live for Jesus now faithfully? That's a commitment. That is a life to live. And here's the awesome thing about it is, it's a life that even if somehow, which is impossible, but let's say somehow somebody were to ask me in a debate, what if there is no God? Well, I know that there's not only my God of the Bible, that he's so real. I know him more than I know for sure my last name. I mean, have you ever tried to Google and try to research your own heritage? I mean, you're not sure about anything after a while. I just know that I'm here and my God's eternal and that he has gone through great lengths to announce to me, and I know I'm saying very personal stuff here, but it applies to you too if you want him, that he wrote this book to me. Basically, when I open this book, the Bible, it says, Dear Jack, this book of redemption. And Paul says, listen, consider God's dealing with the nation of Israel as an example. Number one, God will never give up. I love that. Yes, has Israel gone through Holocausts throughout history? Yes. But has God ever abandoned them? No. And you and I are living at a time when God says, I'm going to regather them. I'm going to do another work in their existence again in these last and final days. What's amazing is that we are to be knowing that and we are to be choosing that God of life. And when God says, I want you to lay down your life, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Notice this. It's take up your cross and not crucify yourself on it and lie there dead. It's take up your cross and follow him every day. Live for him. Be a real believer, not a part-time believer, not a sometime believer, but a real believer. He says in verse 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And we studied how out of all of the children of Israel, we know this from Scripture, some 600,000 men came out of Egypt, assuming that they had a wife, they might have had children. There's an estimation of about 2 to 2.5 million Jewish followers of God came out of Egypt. They came out in slavery. They came out in ignorance. They were not educated by Pharaoh. And God delivered them. And he used the man, Moses, to deliver them. And all of this not only actually happened, but the Bible sadly tells us that with most of them, listen, with most of them, he was not well pleased. Why? Because the Bible tells us that those original members of those departing Egypt, the Scripture tells us that all but two of them made it into the promised land. Now, that doesn't mean that it was just Joshua and Caleb walking into the promised land saying, oy vey, man, we started out with a lot, but it's just you and I. No, no, no. Their children, their kids that were born to them in the wilderness went in. Those who started the walk didn't make it. You can start out in what you call Christianity and not make it. Why? It's not because you might lose your salvation. It's because you believed or you fellowshipped or you worshiped or you hung out, but it never went deeper than skin deep. You never, never took that belief system to faith in God. And the Bible says that for most of them, God was not well pleased. Do you remember we ended the message here last week that if you were to look at them in the wilderness and they're laying there in the desert, a very, very tragic picture could be seen in your mind's eye, that they had that little slip of paper with the string around their toe, remember? And that little slip of paper had on their toe, cause of death, unbelief. Every trauma you and I go through in life, it's because we are being robbed of faith. Unbelief, I believe, is the number one reason for fatality in this world. As I mentioned last week, not only physically, but of course spiritually. Not trusting him, not believing in him, not leaning upon him. We are to be leaning upon him in a moment by moment way. Cause of death, unbelief. And that's a tragic thing to consider. So let's pick it up where we left off. It's third consideration under this point, running with our eyes wide open. Here we go. Look at verse 6, and that is we are deciding that you will not waste your life any longer. You're going to decide that you're not going to waste your life anymore. And this is very, very searching. He says, now these things became our examples, verse 6, to the intent. for this reason, for a purpose, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Why? To lust after idols. You say, idols? This is ridiculous. Who would lust after an idol? You would. I would. We have a tendency to attach meaning to things. You see this when someone dies. Now, there's a sweetness to it. Oh, I want her china set. It reminds me of, and that's sweet, I understand that. But you know what? As a pastor, do you know how many sad situations I see when someone dies and leaves whatever they leave and the family begins to fight? As a pastor, no. Forget, not as a pastor, as a just a normal person, I'd like to walk up and like blow it all up or burn it all down. Because they were fine until this happened. And it's very sad. Why? Because I got to have this and I got to have the other thing. And we begin to attach identity to things. Oh, look at me. Look what I have. Look at this. And we make things that are sweet, good, and nice, we make them idols. We could make California an idol, but then our governor makes a decision, and that's not going to happen, to make California an idol. But you see what I'm talking about? This last week, I had the incredible, now listen to me, don't misquote me here. I got to say this carefully. There were 400 people nationwide invited to a closed-door, sequestered type of event. 375 of them were attorneys and 25 of them were pastors. Why? Because we looked at the next 25 years of the cultural swing and movement against what you believe and how to combat a godless culture. How to rescue our young people today. And the agenda of those who want to see Christianity literally outlawed. Why am I bringing this up? Because the organization that put it on, listen to me, I didn't pay for this. It was at the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna. It was insane. I pulled up, and here's my thing. I pulled up, first of all, parked out in front. There's Bentleys, Rolls Royces, Ferraris, Porsches, and a Ford truck. You know what's funny? On top of the Ford truck, I had a big name tag which clearly announced, I'm here for a conference. I'm not here for a vacation. I'm not here for pleasure. I'm here for a conference. And it says, hello, my name's Jack. And why do I bring this up to you? Because there were people getting out of their cars. It's amazing to watch. People pull up and they open their door and it's like, like what? Like, this is normal. Yeah, this is normal for me. Isn't it normal for you? I got out of my car and I'm like this, oh my gosh, this place is revealing. I can't believe I'm doing this. And I pull out my phone, I'm taking pictures of molding. Look at the baseboards. I look like an idiot. Lisa, can you see this? Look at the crown molding in this place. It was obvious it was not my normal hangout. But what's funny to me is I saw people acting like it's normal. This is normal. This is how I live. And they get kind of snooty about it. They pull up really fast. They don't drive that fast normally. They pull up, toss the keys to the valet guy. And it's like, yeah, normal. All normal. You know why people act like that? Identity. This is me. Look. You know what I'm talking about? You can take an amazing thing and make it an idol. We can take our incredible weather and make it an idol. All the things that God has given you and I, we can make it an idol. It's a dangerous thing. And we need to be careful about it. Why? Because we invest in those things, we will waste our lives. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25? He talked about those who were given what we call talents. It's not talents like you can dance and play the trombone. Talents were investments that God gave you an area of influence and the ability to do certain things. And God expects you, listen, God expects you to live your life in a way that takes what God has started with you and that you, as a good steward, invest what God has done in your life. In other words, he wants you to replicate the kingdom to other people. And Jesus said to the person that's been given this much, he, during his lifetime, invests what I gave him, and at the end, this is what he gets back out of life. And so the person's applauded by the king when he returns. And then the next guy was given something and he multiplied what his influences were. And then there was the third guy. Remember the third guy? The third guy is most of humanity. God gives him life and things and influences and abilities. And that guy says, wow, I don't want to blow any of this because there could be an end of life someday and I don't want to be a total loser. So I'm going to take it, I'm going to bury it in the ground and just wait and really exist and not do anything until death comes. I'll play it safe. When it's time to sign up for something, I won't do it because I'm going to play it safe. When it comes time to go to Haiti and reach out to those broken people or to Japan, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play it safe. When it comes to parting with part of my $100 bill to advance the gospel of God to the ends of the earth and to China and into Russia, I'm going to play it safe. And we have all of these arguments that sound really conservative on the surface, and God has been inviting you and I to be reckless regarding eternity. And we play it safe and we bury it in the ground. And Jesus said there's going to come a time when he comes back and he's going to say, okay, concerning the things I gave you in life, do you know how to ride a bicycle really good? Good. Did you do that to my glory? Are you a surfer? Did you do it to my glory? Are you a Wall Street banker? Did you do it to my glory? Whatever you do, he's going to ask a return of it. And if you pull it up from underneath the basket and say, Lord, I knew that when you'd come back, it could be a pretty scary day. So here's my life. Well, okay, but what did you do with it? I just preserved it. I didn't take any risk. I didn't serve anybody. I didn't do anything. I just went with the flow of normalcy. And here you go. You can have it back. And Jesus said, I don't want that. Who wants that thing? And he says in the parable, I will call forth the angels and they will take this person away. Why? What does that mean? It means that they never believed and trusted in God as they ought. They wasted their life. The Bible says this. How tragic is this? Judges 16:20. Remember Samson? Samson was a normal guy. You know that? Don't you think that Samson, in pictures, you got this huge strapping dude. Who are you? Samson! And he just knocks people over. He's got 25-inch biceps and all. He looks like the Hulk. Not so. He looked like Barney Fife, I'm sure of it. You know who Barney, anybody know who that is? Why? Well, how do you know this? Because when the power of God came upon him, nobody expected such great power to come out of him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The title of this study, Run Christian Run, meaning that we as believers are to run away from our old way of living and run toward our new life found in Jesus. Run Christian Run. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, when you get a chance, visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again if you'd like. You can also check out past editions of Real Radio. You can shop the books, the DVDs, and the audio presentations that we offer. And you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional that we think you're really going to like, which, by the way, you can get by email. Words to the Wise. It's a great way to keep in touch with Real Radio, as well as learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.